throughout, of course, the various shurim that we had in the Or Sadikim, like any sefer that we pick throughout every new season, are svarim that deal with hashkof and basically musar. That's the main point. And so maybe it's kedai to today, just a little bit, the hagdomah before we get into the Or Sadikim, is to mention the following, and actually to read to the Yoilim a letter. A letter possibly which certainly is filled with a lot of hashkof, a lot of musar, not a long letter, but it is something that hopefully we never in our lives would have to go through for the reason that this letter was written. The letter was written by one of the greatest Rosh Yeshivas, which was Rav Moshe Morche Epstein, Zechroino Livracha, Rosh Yeshiva and the founder of the Yeshiva of Slobodka. His dates are 1866 and 1934. Born in 1866, and if they're 1934, Rosh Yeshiva, the famous, was called Knesset Yisrael Yeshiva in Slobodka. And as you know, that he later transplanted the Yeshiva in Etzion to Hebron. And of course, it was his yeshiva that suffered the massacre of the Yeshiva Bochum in 1929 in Hebron. And the Yad Rosh Yeshiva was Rav Moshe Morche Epstein. So in 1926, that's basically shortly before he opened the branch of the yeshiva in Hebron. So Moshe Morche travels to the United States. So I mentioned that the Sefer Levush Mordechai is probably from all the different forms that you find Shurim of Rosh Yeshivas, what makes it special, at least in my opinion, is whereas most of the Sfarim and Shurim of the usual Rosh Yeshivas, of course, they deal with the analytical subject at hand to try to explain it in their own way and give it their own interpretations, which he does as well. But he, in addition to all that, has a tremendous, what is called a hekif, which means that he's not able merely to focus only on one area, but he brings in from many, many different places in Shas related situations that are also equally explained by the theories that he establishes. In that sense, there is a tremendous hekif, which includes so many, many other areas, related areas, which is not the usual way that the, I say, the most common Rosh Yeshivas work. He had the tremendous ability of being makif all over Shas. He was also brother-in-law to Mrs. Zalman Meltzer. They actually were sons-in-law of someone by the name of Rav Frank, who was Ira Gevir, and who supported both of his sons-in-law to sit and learn. In any case, so Moshe Morche Epstein, before, as we say, shortly before he opened the branch in Hebron, so he traveled to the United States to raise, which is always the much-needed funds for the yeshiva. While he was in New York, he would be the guest of one of the most prominent philanthropists, realizing at the time, we're talking the 20s, right, of Torah causes. It was not so easy to find Torah supporters, you know, in America in the 1920s. And he would be the guest of one of the most prominent philanthropists at Torah causes. The name was Mr. Sam Golding, New York City's Upper West Side. And it was there that he first met their son. The son was little Yossi Golding, and he became very close to his heart, to the Rosh Yeshiva's heart, as a young little boy, whom we referred to as the Golden Yossi. His name was Golding. They called him the Golden Yossi, affectionately. It was tragically that on a Shabbos afternoon, in 1928, on the day of his bar mitzvah, a car jumps the sidewalk as Yossi was walking with two friends, and he kills him. David's bar mitzvah. People arriving at the Golding residence that night, right, bringing bar mitzvah gifts, not knowing that the child is no longer alive. And coming to the house, who do they find? They find a house of mourning, a house of avelus. And they're still bringing the bar mitzvah gifts. Happened on Shabbos. Nobody knew. People didn't know about it. And one can imagine that the heartbreak was very immense, very strong. And Rav Moshe Morche heard about it when he was already in Hebron. And he hears about it. And therefore he commissions to writing a handwritten letter, right, of Nachum of consolation to the Golding family in New York. So they're saying that we're on the topic of Hashkof and Musar, so maybe it's kedai to hear, what does a person say to a family, right, that loses a precious dear child, and especially on the day of his bar mitzvah? What do you say to a family? And Moshe Marcha begins his letter, with the traditional bracha of Amokim Yenachem Eschem B'Chshar Ve'Lusim V'Yishalayim. Hashem should, of course, console you among the mourners of Tzion Yerushalayim. And he writes the following. He titles it. He titles the letter both to Mr. and Mrs. Golding. And he writes to my honorable friend and great supporter of Torah, Shimon Golding, and to the dear supporter of Torah, the Tzedekis, the wise woman, Mrs. Necha Golding. He said, together with the dear children, you live long and be consoled from the one above. And he goes on to write as follows. He says, my dear friends, it's a mitzvah to comfort mourners, to console those who suffer tragedy. But he said, my dear friends, it's very difficult, for me to find the right words. He says, faced with great tragedy, he says, when you are precious, he says, Golden Yossi refers to him, Zachron Lavroch this time, is suddenly, he says, no longer here. And regarding such a tragedy, he says, how can I offer words to console you when I can't even console myself, he says. So how am I going to find the right words to be Menachem you? And he says, my hands are trembling as I write this letter, and my heart is broken. And he says, and unwittingly, he says, tears are pouring from my eyes. So great is this tragedy. He says, too difficult to find any proper words of comfort regarding such a child in whom we hoped, he says, to see exemplary prominence and greatness. We hoped, but it's been taken away, plucked out. So he goes on to say the following words. But we have to take into account, he said, that this tragedy did not occur in the usual way. But in fact, he says, since the tragedy took place on the day of his bar mitzvah, something was being conveyed from Shemayim. Something was being conveyed from heaven. This cannot be taken as happenstance. It must have a deeper meaning. This reminds of what is written, he says, in the Torah, that on the very day when the children of Aharon HaKohen were to become Kohanim, right, on the very day that the children of Aharon were supposed to become Kohanim, a fire came and consumed them. Similar type of a situation. And the one above said to Aharon HaKohen, do not leave your heads unshorn. In other words, do not let your hair just grow long in Avelus. The entire house of Klal Yisrael will wail, he says, over the tragedy that happened. And he says, what is the message here? So Moshe Marcha writes and explains in his letter. He says, when Chas V'Sholem, he says, a great tragedy must befall the entire Jewish nation, when there's a gzeira looming over the entire Jewish nation, he says, in order to save the people, so he said, the one above takes a singular sacrifice, thereby rescuing the entire Jewish nation from major tragedy. And the one above, when he chooses from the best to be a sacrifice on behalf of the entire nation. It was the children of Aharon HaKohen who were the best, because the Pesuk says, "Bekrovosam lifnei Hashem v'yemusu." They have reached a level of such closeness to Hashem and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they were truly one of the best that one can imagine of the generation. It was in that loftiest moment, he says, in that loftiest moment when a sacrifice of individual or individuals can serve to save an entire Jewish nation from tragedy and from calamity, he says. And Hashem said this to Aharon HaKohen. He said, the children did not deserve the tragedy, but the Jewish nation did. Hashem knew why. They didn't, but the Jewish nation did. And therefore, he says, the nation must cry. The Jewish nation must cry. And know, Aharon, that your children are the sacrifice that was needed, he says, for the sake of the Jewish nation. At that point was the Pesuk said, Vayidem Aharon. That Aharon HaKohen was personally consoled. He didn't say a word. That's the way he explains it, Moshe Marcha explains it. So he says, it's similarly said to the nations of the world who do it in a different way, with their own hands. What do the nations of the world do? It's very common for nations of the world, when faced with tragedy, that they send out their best sons to give their lives to save the fatherland. So they do it with their own hands. We cannot do it with our own hands. Here's Hashem will do it. Hashem will do it. Hashem will take the best of his sons in order to save, yes, the fatherland, meaning the Jewish nation. So he goes on to say, dear friends, he continues, and he says, our holy sages, Chachamim, tell us that when Hashem chooses a special soul on behalf of the generation to save the generation, he takes the korban, takes the sacrifice, he says, from the Tanoik Yishol Beis Rabban. He takes a child from the yeshiva, because those are the most pure. Those are that learn Torah on the purest level, because they have not sinned yet. They're still young. And therefore, points out from Moshe Mordechai, he becomes the savior for that generation. He says, when Chas V'Sholem, he says, when God forbid the sins of the generation become collectively a lot, and he points out, could be it was a lot of Chilul Shabbos, whatever the situation was in America at the time, there was a lot of situations taking place, which is serious, or other similar offenses, which Chas V'Sholem, great tragedy might come, because Baruch Hu takes a singular sacrifice from the yeshiva community, and with this he says, the entire generation is saved from calamity. And therefore he says, I declare to you, precious parents, I declare to you, he says, my heart personally feels along with your parents' heart regarding this tragedy, specifically with you, Mrs. Golding, who has a mother's heart, as you are touched, he says, as only a mother can be touched by such a tragedy. But Hashem showed through the fact that this calamity happened, b'chavosam lifnei Hashem, on the day of his bar mitzvah. That's when he comes closest to Hashem, like we find by the children of Aharon. With B'Kavosam Livna Hashem, he says, this was the time that the generation needed an atoning. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu chose, right, in order to save the entire generation, he took the precious, he says, Yosef Zechron Lavrocha, your precious son, from among the Tanoik Yishol Beis Rabban, from the yeshiva children, from such a precious home, precious child, from you who are a unique tzidkonis, he writes to her, to the mother, he says, of the generation. You are the tzidkonis of the generation, he writes to her. So he says, may Hashem, he says, give you long life. From you he chose the sacrifice. He, Yosef, maybe was taken from this world to save the generation. But he says, to your righteous heart, he says, I implore, writes to Moshe Mordechai, be consoled by the knowledge that your precious son saved the entire Jewish nation. You are parents who relinquished their own son's life for the fatherland, saving the land. In this case, meaning the Jewish people. But you can also be consoled to know where your son is now. Where your son finds himself now. By saving, he says, the Jewish people, he says, the entire generation, you have to realize that he is most high in Gan Eden, in a place where only, he says, very few can ever merit to reach such a high place in that, in the next world. And he signs off, may your precious righteous heart be strengthened. It will be a schus like the Akedah of Yitzchak. Rav Avinu was also ready to sacrifice Yitzchak. And Hashem will bless you that you will never know such pain, only nachas from all your precious children. In our yeshiva, we say Kaddish and learn Mishnayis for his holy neshama. I too learn Mishnayis for his neshama. Be consoled, your devoted friend who only hopes good for you. Moshe Mordechai Epstein. This is just this amazing thing, you know. I have a copy here just at the first page of that letter, I mean, the beautiful handwriting that he had. And you can imagine, I mean, this kind of a way with this in the soil, this is a type of a test, as they say, we should never have to be tested with this. But when situations arrive to this, to be able to look at it in a way from a, such a perspective, and to understand, to make just a little bit easier to be able to be civil. And to be able to understand a little bit, because although we always say Hashem's ways are just, but nevertheless, to have a little bit of havana, a little bit of understanding in the ways of Hashem. Let me just say one more nekuda here. That which is in the study of Musar, Naftali Amsterdam was a major Mabes Torah of Musar, and one of the main Talmidim of Rishon Salanter. Naftali Amsterdam, again, was also someone who was born in 1832 and he was Nifter in 1916. Naftali Amsterdam, as we said, was one of the great disseminators of the Musar world. Great Talmud of Rishon Salanter. And he wrote, right, a Tzavoah. He wrote a Tzavoah, but it was an ethical will. He writes a tzavor in which he describes how one should study Musar, and he illustrates the profound effect that his study had on his own personal existence. So I'm just mentioning just a few words, therefore, of his tzavor, as we are doing a little bit of a study of Musar. He writes as follows. He says, in my youth, writes the Rav Tolny Amsterdam, he writes, in my youth, he says, I received and observed Musar, he says, from my master and mentor, was Rav Shlomo Salanter, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. In a loud voice, he would recite repeatedly with burning lips and with great fervor the teaching. He says, each day that I study Musar, I find that all my activities, words, and thoughts are better. For the fact that I study Musar, he says, the ideal format of the Musar study session, he says, the way I do it, as my master instructed, interesting, the way he points out how Rav Salanter instructed him how to learn Musar. He says, it should be divided into two parts. He says, for example, let's say a person devotes, let's say, an hour every day to the study of Musar, a half hour should be spent studying, he says, a Musar text, whatever sefer you use, would it be Chovos Avodos, would it be Orech HaTzaddikim, a half an hour would be to study words, Shari Tshuva, words, a Musar text, he said, in the same way as one would take a sefer, he gives an example of Mesilas Yesharim, Chovos Avodos, and so on, and he says, when you study it from the text, you study it, he says, with the same intellectual process that one uses to study any other Torah subject, when you study Gemara, right? So you study with an intellectual, right? You start with an intellectual commitment. You don't just say words. So the same thing when you take, let's say, of the hour that you learn, take a half an hour to study the text. Study the text deeply, go into the meaning of the words, he says. It should be intellectual process the way that you study any other thing. Delving, he says, into the concepts analytically, systematically. The second half hour, he said, should be spent studying with passion and inspiration, taking a short passage and repeating it many times. Right? Could be it a thought, he says, from the Chovos Avodos, from the Reishis Chochmah, or from Pirkei Avos. This was Rav Shlomo Salanter's method, he says, of studying Musar. And then he says, finally, it's essential for man to repair his character in order to do so. Two things, he says, are required. The study of Musar, and also a good friend with whom to find time to strategize and work on character improvement. It's interesting to have a partner. You have a partner that both are committed in character improvement. I advise, he says, that each day of the week, the friends work on a different trait. For example, he says, on the first day of the week, they should focus on anger. On the second day of the week, on being over strict, etc. Work as well on the virtue of silence and on being generous to others. These are all things character refinement you have to work on. They just don't happen. He says, the latter is the most admirable of all traits, as he talks of being generous, for through it one can mend all bad traits. And once asked my master, again meaning Rav Shlomo Salanter, and once asked him the remedy for anger, and he replied that if effort is made to act well toward others, anger will automatically be controlled. Interesting what he says. To work on anger directly is not so easy. But if you work more on the positive side, working more on being more generous to others, so he says, so the flaws, right, the flaws of the trait of anger will be more easily controlled. It would be even better, he says, to divide up the days of the month and focus on improving a different trait, he says, each week. Anyway, this is some of the ideas, he says, that he received from Rav Shlomo Salanter. So let's take Rabbi Isai here. Let's go to the Orech HaTzaddikim. And we say now, we have this year and Meshem next week. So let's do a little bit Shar HaZrizis, which is the Shar HaChemisha Osor, on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. The 15th Shar HaZrizis, which is the gate of zeal, the gate of zealousness, the gate of alacrity, doing things with fervor. Okay, so we have the Shar HaChemisha Osor, Shar HaZrizis, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. He goes on to say that Hazrizis, he says, the midah, he says, of zeal, the midah of zeal, he mailah gedoyla l'toyra l'mitzvahs, it's a great virtue, right, that promotes Torah and mitzvahs, and also the gamle in takonos olam hazeh, and also towards worldly progress. In every area of one's life, there is very important to be the zrizus. Whatever you do, don't do it with laziness. Don't do it backwardly. Don't do it just laid back without any cheshik. But do something with zeal. When something's important to do, do it. If it's not important, then you don't do it. But if you understand this is important to do, then do it with zrizus. Not enough just to do it, but do it with a brand, do it with a fervor, do it with this nahavas. The himidus at tzaddikim. This is the way of tzaddikim. This is the trait of tzaddikim. With bedarke azrizus, and through the medium of zrizus of zeal, magiim at tzaddikim avoidis aboyri yizvarech. All tzaddikim, if they do a mitzvah, they do it with zeal. They don't do it with laziness. As a matter of fact, have the lashon of Ramchal. Ramchal says in Mesilas Yeshayahu and Perek Zayin, says Ramchal, just quote the lashon, V'chein timtzo kol maaseihem shel tzaddikim tomid b'mehirus. So says the Mesilas Yeshayahu. You'll find that this is the way, this is the attitude of tzaddikim. And we see it in our own private lives. And when we are very excited about something, we really go ahead about it, right? We just don't do it just haphazardly. We go ahead and do it with all our fervor. We give it all it takes. If we're really excited about something, what do we do with things lazily? When you're forced to do it, but you don't really want to do it, but you can't get out of it. So you do it. But we can tell on the person's face that if he had the choice, he wouldn't want to do it. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it should be something we're excited about. And thereby you do it with zeal, right? You go ahead and you do it with all that you got. You give it everything. In fact, our rabbis have said, our chachomim have said, zrizn magdim al mitzvahs, that those people with zeal, right, they fulfill the mitzvahs promptly. Now, when it comes to the mitzvah, right, you have time to do the mitzvah throughout the entire day. Don't wait for the entire day. Don't wait till the afternoon. Do it as soon as you can. And that applies to all mitzvahs. And, you know, you daven in the morning, so you daven in the morning. Don't leave it for hours later in the day. Certainly not beyond this man tefillah. But mitzvahs bechlal that a person can do, mitzvahs, that's called zrizn magdim al mitzvahs. Zrizn means people who have zeal, magdim al mitzvahs, they do the mitzvahs, right, as promptly as possible. What I have here is, could I just read you just a moment, you know, one of the great personalities, which many, many years ago we've discussed when we, literally many, many years ago, 7, 8 years ago, and we were discussing the Shiurim of Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. And we pointed out that one of the Chaverim of Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin was a great Tzadok, Reb Leibel Eger. Reb Leibel Eger was the son of Reb Shloime Eger, who was the son of Reb Akiva Eger. Reb Akiva Eger was recognized as the Godel HaDor. And he was the Rav of in Posen, right, in Poland. And after Akiva Eger became the Rav in Posen, his son succeeded him, Rav Shloime Eger, who in his own right was also a great Goyen. But they were non-Hasidim. And when the Hasidim movement started making inroads, you know, there was a lot of opposition to it, because whenever something new comes about, you stand by the side and you're worried. You say, where is it going? You know, what is the motivation behind it, and so on and so forth. Reb Leibel Eger was the son of Reb Shloime Eger, became connected to Hasidus very, very strongly. And this was something that was not to the great, as you say, not to the great. His father of Shlomis had put it this way: had heartaches regarding this fact that he saw that his son accepted the derech of Chassidus, and he tried to dissuade him. But whatever he tried to do, it just didn't work. Reb Leger was considered a Talmud of the Ishbitzer, you know, was the breakaway of Kotsk. And that was his mahalach, and at the end he became a Rebbe in his own right. It was not just, he started out as a chusid, but then later on he became a Rebbe. As a matter of fact, when the Yishvitzer was nifter, Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin himself did not want to accept the mantle of leadership, and he himself became a chusid of Leib Leger, even though they were contemporaries. Amish Reb Tzadok HaKohen became a chusid of Leib Leger. It tells you something. You know what Reb Tzadok HaKohen was, right? Tremendous genius and everything, in addition to his sitkis, and he's a mavatal stuff to Leib Leger. Leib Leger, being the tzaddik that he was, he would do a lot of hachon, a lot of preparation before he did a mitzvah. So by the time the mitzvah was done, you know, half of the day was over. Especially because of the hachon of the mitzvah. Hachon alone, just the preparing himself to do the mitzvah, just took him a long time. Being that he was known, right, as a great tzaddik, so if there was a bris, everybody, right, would try to have the opportunity that he should be the tzaddik. We consider a big schus to have a blade leg, he should be the tzaddik to hold the baby b'shas the bris. Only one problem. If you wanted him to be tzaddik, he did not manage to be there until sometime late in the afternoon. Now, you know, if anything, by a bris, we try to do a bris as early as we can in the morning, and not to try to delay it. That's all based upon zrizin magdim and lemitzis. We try, right, to be mizaris, to be zealous, and to do the mitzis as early as possible. And we frown upon situations if bris is delayed for no real good reason. It's delayed even within the same day, even though you have technically to hold it the same day, it's fine. But the mile of zrizin, the mile of doing it as early as possible, that enhances and is an important factor in doing the mitzvah. But if you had him for the tzaddik, if you had him for the tzaddik, then you knew that the bris will take place sometime late in the afternoon. Which, therefore, drew a lot of opposition from many, many Gedolei Yisrael. The Rebbe of Lublin there is a person also by the name of Meshulam Zalman, was an Odom Gadol in his own right, and he opposed it very strongly. He was the Rebbe of the city. It was Lublin we're talking about. And opposed it, and many others as well. That how can you do such a thing? Because everywhere, go in all the Jewish communities, a bris is done early in the morning. As a matter of fact, in the city of Mattersdorf, that was the city where the Chassam Sofer was Rav, way before Presburg, the minig was that on the day that there was a bris, they would start shachris 5 minutes earlier, symbolically, to be able to make the bris, so to speak, is earlier than it would be normally, because the bris is always after davening. So they daven just 5 minutes early. What's 5 minutes? Symbolically, just to show we're trying to do, because there's a bris. We want to do the bris earlier, and to give it an earlier opportunity to perform that mitzvah. So what happened is that Reb Leib Lager goes and he writes a letter to his first cousin, Reb Shimon Sofer. Reb Shimon Sofer again was the son of the Chassam Sofer. Right? So he goes and he writes a letter to Reb Shimon Sofer, who was the rabbi of Krakow. And he writes a letter to the Chedusha Harim. And he writes a letter to his longtime friend, Reb Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin, telling him this is the situation, that the people want me for Sandik. I'm not asking for the kibbut, I'm not asking for the kovid, but the fact is it takes me a lot of time to prepare. Can you imagine his achonis that he did? It took him hours to make his achonis. And therefore he writes, and I just have to tell you just interesting diuk in the Loshon. Interesting in the Loshon that he writes Reb Leib Lager to Reb Shimon Sofer, and he writes as follows to Reb Shimon Sofer. He writes, you know, he says that Achad Rishay Sholem, he says, after paying my respects, my regards, he says, Shebisori Hagoyim. Achal Ponov, he says, I am beseeching your honor. He says, La Shivenu Bozeh. He says, Be'inyan Ichur Mitzvah Smila. Regarding the fact that the Mitzvah Smila is taking place later because of me, he says, and this is against the opinion, he says, of the Chachme Hoyer, of the Chachomim Dikiloseinu, and also other Rabbonim as well. He said, but to me it is pasha, there's no problem in what I am doing. It's not a contradiction to Zrizin Magdim and Lemitzvahs. Why? And look what the Leib Lager says. You notice, it doesn't say Zrizin Magdim and Es HaMitzvah. It doesn't say that the mitzvah itself is done early. Zrizin Magdim is that the people who are zealous, they begin doing things towards the mitzvah. Zrizin Magdim and Lemitzvahs. Guess what? I begin my achonis very early, and by the time I'm finished, right, the mitzvah is done late. But I'm zrizin magdimen le mitzvahs. It doesn't say zrizin magdimen es ha mitzvah. And I'll prove to you that that's quite acceptable, because we find, for example, when it comes to davening, we might remember the Mishnah tells us in Brochus that the Chassidim Rishayim, that the early Chassidim, the very saintly ones, Ho Yishayim, Lifnei Atzilus Shachas, they spent an hour, like before davening, the davening itself was an hour. So what do you mean? So they spent Shehiyah, they spent an hour preparing for davening, which means that the davening was delayed by an hour later. The answer is, but there was reason in the Hachomet. Right, even though the actual davening was later, but there was reason, they were zealous in the achonah. So they didn't waste any time. If you waste time, that's called, right? That's a contradiction to Zrizin Magdim Lemitzvahs. If you're delaying, not doing anything. But I'm actively involved getting ready for the mitzvah. And that I'm doing very early. So my achonah begins quite early. So Zrizin Magdim, as long as you are Magdim Lemitzvahs, towards the mitzvah, he writes. And he says, Adovah Yeposhet Be'enai. He says, that there is the Magdim al mitzvahs, v'loi omer ha mitzvahs. Right? Which means to say, is laheichen atzmon lekiyum ha mitzvahs. That's what's necessary. And that's the ikar zrizis. That's what we mean by being zealous. We find the chassidim rishoyim shay yishoyim kredem atfilu shay achas, kedei lechavim libom. Right, and it, by the way, and it doesn't say that the preparation began before the Zman Tefillah. In other words, early when it was still dark outside. Before, it doesn't say that. In other words, technically the Zman Tefillah was already here, but they were busy doing the Hakhona, and that's okay because Hakhona is all part of the mitzvah. So my part of mitzvah smila is the Hakhona to get ready. He had a lot of kavunas and a lot of seidus. He was a great man of blade lager. It takes me a long time. It takes me a long time. So therefore he asks the B'Shim Sofer to write back to him, to give him an answer. And the B'Shim Sofer, in fact, he writes back to him, and he says to him the following. He says, the truth is, this is not our custom, he says, because we thought you'd make the bris as early as possible. However, we know that your kavanah is l'shem shemayim, and most people not in your madrega, some other people cannot follow what you do, he writes to him. But nevertheless, he says, because I know that your kavanah is l'shem shemayim, so he says, so I agree, he says, that your custom, the way that you do it, is acceptable. Just point out, the Chiddush Shalvim also supported him, and also the Tzadik HaKohen in the letter also supported him. So anyway, so this is Zvizim Magdim and Lemitzis, which the Yochas Tzadikim talks about, to understand what Zvizim Magdim and Lemitzis means. The point is not to delay and not be involved. You're involved in the mitzvah, right? Very early. That's all part of Zvizim Magdim and Lemitzis, being involved. You know, the actual mitzvah might take place later. But the involvement of the mitzvah, actively being involved, doing things towards the mitzvah, is also part of Zvizim Magdim and Lemitzis. Now, the inner theory about Avraham Avinu being an Akedah. Take a look regarding Avraham Avinu. When he came to the Akedah, Shenem of the Pesuk says, Vayashkim Avraham Baboiker. It says Avraham Avinu got up early. Do you realize Avraham Avinu was getting up early to Shecht Yitzchak? Says Yochai Sadikim, this is a extra chiddush. It's not just that he got up early to do a mitzvah, but it was a very difficult mitzvah. You would say like this, if I have to do it already, at least, you know, let me wait an hour or two. Let me have my son, you know, for a few more hours. If I'm going to have to shecht him, from Avinu didn't make that chesed. On the contrary, even though it was a difficult thing to go ahead and shecht his one and only son, also rotzen habayre yisale, he did the rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bizrizis, right? He did it with alacrity, with zeal, lahashkin baboiker. When the Yochai Tzadikim says it was kosher loy for Avraham Avinu to do it, you know, there's difference of opinion on that also, right? But what the Yochai Tzadikim is saying, even without mentioning the Maromokim, what he means, what he's referring to is to a medrash. In fact, there's a medrash that says that during the Akedah, there were tears. There were tears that were coming out of the eyes of Avraham Avinu for a number of reasons. Number one, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu promised him, Ki bi Yitzchak yikor l'chazorah, right, that through Yitzchak you're going to have a legacy. A second thing is also, because in those days, in that kufa, in the ancient times, when Avraham Avinu lived, sacrificing children was only done by idol worship. It was not something that would be accepted under a normal situation. It was something that was done by idol worshippers. So here Avraham Avinu is being asked by Hashem to do it. Avraham Avinu would give the impression on the outside that he's also doing things that, well, that Oyv Davoy de Zohar are doing. So it was something that was difficult for Avraham Avinu to do, and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, in spite of all the so-called difficulties in carrying out this act, he did it bezrizis. He did not let any cheshbonis stand in the way. Right? But rather, vayashkim Avraham baboiker. Umi she'oise maso bezrizis, the Yochai Tzadikim. A person who does his maisim with zeal, that proves that he loves Hashem, he loves the mitzvahs. Like I said, if you're really excited about something, if you're really excited, if you have a cheshit to do something, you do it with him. Person right has a cheshit, he's going tomorrow, he's going on a vacation. And he knows, right, he knows that the plane is leaving 5 in the morning, he'll get up with simcha, he'll get up at 2:30 in the morning to make it to the airport. 2:30 in the morning, try to get him up 2:30 in the morning. I am going for vacation, can't miss the flight. Then he goes, and he comes to Maisa, he goes, that's the Zerizis. So the person is the mitzvah of Zerizis, the Bezer, Echochi Gedolah, Shohayev is Boiroi, that proved that he loves Hashem, his creator. Ke'evet Hohayev is Adoino. It's like an Evan who loves his master, and if he loves his master, so he spurs himself, lots of his in order to do the rotsan of his master. He spurs himself in order to do the rest of his master. As is pointed out also by some Mefarshim, actually the Magid of Mezrich, she says, what's the difference between an Eved, right, who loves his master and therefore really wants to do the bidding of his master because he loves him? Or you have an Eved, you know, who doesn't really love his master, but has no choice, he's an Eved. He has to do it because he's instructed to do so. What's the difference if you do something out of love or you do something because you have to do it? You know what the difference is? So just to give you the difference. So the Magid of Mezrich says the mashal would be like this. That let's say the master says to the Eved, go fetch a pail of water. Right? Go fetch a pail of water. So the Eved, who strictly is not really interested to do the rotzen of the master, right? But he has to do it. So what does he do? He goes and brings a pail of water and he fulfills the instructions. Someone though who loves his master, an Eved who loves his master, someone who really is interested to do the will of his master, he says to himself, look, he wants a pail of water. Why does he need the water for? Probably, maybe he wants to wash the floor. So the Eved not only brings the pail of water, but he anticipates the purpose and will go ahead and wash the floor until he was asked to wash the floor. But that's the chilek. When you do something out of love, you do something mitoch ahava, then you go ahead to find out what is the ultimate rotzen of the bakosha that was asked from you. You don't merely stick strictly to the actual words of the instruction, but you try to find what was the purpose of that if you do it out of love. So that's what he says. That if the master, and you have an eved, the eved is oyeves adoinov. So then he's mezayis. He does it with zeal. He does it, you know, with fervor. Kiazrizis tluyah belev odom. So zeal really depends on the attitude of the heart that a person has. It's an interesting thing. We always think about doing something quickly. Has to do it. It's a physical thing, of course. Am I running to do it? Right? Am I walking to do it? Zeal means doing it quickly. But in order to do things quickly, what makes the feet run? Right? What makes the hand want to move quickly is the heart. In other words, if you have a feeling in the heart, if you have the proper attitude, right, then the physical comes automatically. The physical attitude, the physical activity is a consequence, right, of what the heart feels. If the heart feels it's important to do and you really want to do it, then the physical comes. So the zrizis is not in the physical, because we think it's physical. How quickly you're going to shul? How quickly I can do it in a minute? Yeah, it acts out physically. But what's behind it is not the physical movement. What behind it is, behind this reason is the leiv, is the mayach, the thought. That if you believe this is important to do, right, then the nail of the feet are going to run quicker. And you're going to make it faster. You're going to be there on time. And you do what you have to do. So that's what he says, Gazriz is through your belief order. And he goes on to point out that Kishodom Mefana Libo in the Kolam Achshoves or Acheru Sheshboy, if a person frees his heart of all other thoughts, the Toif is Machshova Achas, and he sees this upon one thought, in other words, that this is important for me to do. Azum is Darish, so then he becomes zealous, Ubri Sophic Sheatzliach, and no question is going to be Matzliach. He'll be successful. Kamoikein also Avram. This is, he points out, he wants to give what was the strategy that Avraham used by the Akedah, that he was so successful in carrying out the mission. He points out as follows. The way it worked out with Avraham Avinu was, Shehesir Meliboy Ahavas Benoy, the Ochas Ritzoyim Bori. Interesting thing. There's a psychological way to create a barrier of removing from oneself, right, the tremendous love that you have for your child. In other words, if it comes to a point where Avraham Avinu was ready to shecht his child, right, so what one does is one is able to build within oneself a barrier that's a mechitza between the natural love, the biological love that a father would have to a child. You are able mentally to remove that ahava, right, and sort of like to remain cold in a sense, the ochaz ritzoyim boroi, and to hold on to the rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means it's a tremendous thing where we see the Madrega of Avinu. Because you see, because we're talking about the love of a father to a child, right? That's biological, so that's natural. But we see that what? That mentally one is able to overcome the natural. If there's a strong mental commitment to something, then mentally one is able to overcome, right, the natural and what is physical. So although naturally and physically and biologically there's a natural bond between a father and a son, but you're able to block out that love, right, through a tremendous commitment mentally. And just to quote you the lesson of the Mesilas Yesharim, Ramchal writes in Perek Yud Aleph, Let me just quote you a lotion. V'chol melchoma shehi neged netiyas hateva, he says, melchoma chazokahi. Whenever you have to fight, right, to overcome natural instincts, that's a difficult war. So says the Mesil Sesharim. We have natural instincts. We have biological instincts. And sometimes, right, physically we want to do something. We have tremendous, very strong desires. Tremendous desires. But the Torah says you can't do it. You have to control your desires. So that's where the fight comes in. That's where the Nisoyan comes in, and that's what she calls the Mesil Sishon Ramchal says that's in Melchoma Chazoke. It is a difficult war, because what we're asking you is to overcome and to control natural tendencies. Your hormones say one thing, but the intellect says no, I can't do it, I'm not supposed to do it. And to be able to control that mentally, that is the Madrege, and Avraham Avinu used that and was successful. In other words, the love to his son was cancelled out by his greater love that he had to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Cancelled it out. It's not so poshut, we just say it with words. But that was the Madrege of Avraham Avinu. That Ahavas Hashem was able to cancel the Ahavas Benoi, and therefore he's able to go ahead, right, and to fulfill the Tzivrei Hashem, the commandment of Hashem. Valkane, therefore, not only he did it, but he did it with rizis. He did it with zeal. Valkane is not as a hashkim, therefore he got up quickly, right? He was zealous to rise early. Because his mind was not occupied only with one thing. His mind was connected in the love that he had to Hashem, with a great yearning. Valkane, therefore, because Baruch Hu recognized that sacrifice that Ravino had. So Hashem swore to him, that I always remember all the way down for generations and generations to come, for your descendants, that the merit and the schus of the Akedah will stand by the side. And that's why we glean on that when it comes to Yom Noroim, right? We say, Akedah Yitzchak, right? Lizaroi Hayim Barachim Tizkar. Because in fact, it's not just Tamat Tzilah, but in fact, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu this chus, he says, because of the sacrifice that he did by the Ma'is HaKedah. And he goes like this, because you see, there are people who might do something the same way Avraham Avinu did, but the attitude is different. He says, there are sometimes a person, let's say, for a friend, you might do something that's very difficult for you to do. But you know what? You can't refuse your friend. It happens all the time in life. Your friend asks you to do something. You really don't want to do it. You have no cheshek to do it. But you do it. But you know how you do it. You do it, the liboy noik for lasos. Then you can do it, but your heart is reluctant. While you're doing it, your heart is reluctant. But for Mavinu, he did it, right? But not with a reluctant heart. For he not only did it, but his heart was also in it. So everything was in it. Aval Avraham, he says, v'Yitzchak, not Avraham Avinu. Yitzchak also, Shneim also Mechefes Libam. They both did it wholeheartedly. You have to realize, we always talk about the Nisoyin Avraham Avinu, taking Yitzchak to the Akedah. Yitzchak had no little role, no small role. Yitzchak was not a baby that a father takes a shek to son. Yitzchak was 37 years old. Yitzchak really said, Tata, zikta kodin, find somebody else, not me. He really said that. Choose somebody else. Yitzchak did not do that. But here again, the Orchid Tzaddikim tells us, not only he didn't refuse, but he did it with the same zrizis. He said, Avraham Avinu did it. So the role the Madrei of Avinu had, Yitzchak Avinu also had. And that's why many Mefarshim say, you know what it says, Vayelchu Shneim Yachdov. What does it mean, Vayelchu Shneim Yachdov? That they both went Yachdov, they both went in the same Madrege. Not just they went together, walking side by side. Vayelchu Shneim Yachdov, the same way Avraham Avinu went, with a full heart, full of Ahavas Abor, Ahavas Hashem, right? Did not have any hesitation. The same way Yitzchak also. It's not that Avraham Avinu did it in one Madrege, Yitzchak did it in another Madrege, but they both did it together. This is a Shneim also Mechevitz Libon. They both did it wholeheartedly. Ki Madrege so Ahava so Gedoyla Ma'oid Belibon. They had a tremendous Madrege of Ahavas Hashem. Shneim Nizdabku Hashem Yizborach Bidiyosom. And both connected, right, fully with their knowledge in Hashem, they achieved such great unity, and as they cleaved to Hashem with such closeness, because the kavana was that through this act of the Akedah to publicize the unity of Hashem in the world, right, to proclaim that there was only one creator, And maybe through this to guide other men also, right? To straighten them out to love Hashem. Because the world had all the different fallen beliefs. And maybe this way people will see how great, how far Avraham Avinu Yitzchak went. For the sake of Hashem, this will bring people a little closer to investigate and to come closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The ace, says the Orche Sadikim. At that time, she also always ba'ahava avodis Hashem yis'alu mitzvoiso. At the time, he says, whenever the others with ahava, they served HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fulfilled the mitzvahs, nizbaklu koyach gufon, v'nizdabko datom ba'ahavas aboyer yisboyer. Or Sadikim says, when Avraham Avinu and Yitzchok, whenever they did mitzvahs, the bodily forces became like neutralized. Like as if the physical body regarding Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak totally became secondary to the immense, again, to the immense connection that the mind was connected with to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitzchak, the creator of the world. And therefore, so being that the body becomes secondary, so whatever the body has to do is already instinctive, so now it goes with Rizis. It's only when the body is a factor in any activity that a person starts to think, how do I do it? Do I do it this way? Do I do it stronger? Do I do it weaker? But when the body becomes just secondary, because you know, everything's controlled by the mind is connected to Hashem, and therefore this is what I have to do. The person becomes identified simply by his das, by his mind. So the body is totally secondary to the mind. And once the mind, of course, says, of course I have to do this, I'm yearning to do this, I want to do this, I have to do this, so the body automatically just jumps in line. L'chein also shnei bezrizis, so they did all of this bezrizis. So the truth is, it's in the mind, it's in the das, and the physical really becomes just secondary. There's no problem to do something physically bezrizis if the lave is in the right place. If the mind is in the right place, then everything secondary will fall into place. So we take a look, Rabbi, at the sheet that we have here, and see just a little bit from Reb Chaim Shmulevich. We see on the inyan of bezrizis. Let's take a look. Okay. So Reb Chaim Shmulevich has this in Imam Samach Zayin in the Sefer Sichas Musa. Reb Chaim Shmulevich, he actually talks about atzlus, laziness. And Reb Chaim Shmulevich always has deep insight into the human understanding of, you know, what laziness means, where it comes from. And he points out the following. He based it, first of all, on the Posek. The Posek says, Vayikra Chofalus. It says, Vakoyin HaGodu Meyechof. It talks about the Kohen Gadol. In other words, a person who becomes a Kohen Gadol, becomes the high priest, becomes a Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara tells us, HaKohen HaGadol Me'echov. He becomes great Me'echov from his brothers. Which means, so Chazal say, Loma Nikra Shemoi Gadol. Why is the Kohen Gadol? In what way is he Gadol? In what way is he great? Shu Gadol B'chamisha Devarim. He's great in five things. B'chokhmo, U'bekoyach, etc., etc. It says also he has wealth, he has wisdom, he has power, he has strength. The koyach means shehu gibber. In other words, a kohen gadol, one of the miles of a kohen gadol means that he's a gibber, he's strong. Boyerei, aharon kishehene v'salvim. Aharon kohen had to lift up the levim when they were inducted into the service. There were 22,000 levim. He had to pick up 22,000 people. Do you know how much koyach gibber that is? In one day. First of all, it seems like almost impossible, right? How long did it take to do one levy, right? Pick him up and put him down. Kesad Hoyimanifam, Moyle Khomevi, Malu Moyle. Wait, and not only that, main possession lifting up, he has to wave him back and forth, like a lulav, shake him, each one. Had to do that 22,000 times. 22,000 times. So I shall go to Bekayach. So he said, Yesh is Biden. He said, I want to understand. He says, was it a milot? Is it really a milot, that physical strength? I can go to somebody who serves Hashem on the highest level. Do I really care, you know, how much weight he can bench press? Is that really so important? What's important to be a Kohen? For that you have to have physical power? Spiritual power he has to have. What kind of physical power? Why is it important? He says, V'yesh l'izbayin, he says, L'shimat tzorach liyas. He said, why is it necessary for the Kohen Gadol b'koyach, behind about koyach, gufni? Means he has to have physical strength. It's true that gvura, to possess strength, is a mile. The Novi said, don't go and boast about your gvura. Obviously shows it's a mile. If it wouldn't be a mile, why would you want to boast about it? The fact that the Novi has to tell you don't start boasting means it's a mile. Right? This is an advantage. The main gvura klum, he says, oh, it's all klumakim. But klumakim, so you have to understand, why does the Kohen Gadol have to have that mile? Gvura might be a mile, but why should a Kohen Gadol have to have that mile? Why are we looking for this kind of a mile in a Kohen Gadol? Also, to be a Novi, to be a prophet. What do Chazal say? Eina kuri boch mashle shechinosoi ela al giboich. Says Chocham, says another thing. Va'onov, says noch zachem. But gibor is one of them. Again, gibor. Umat zoyach yesh lo Novi b'gvura. He points out, again, Rav Chaim Shulevich, he says, gvura, he says, is the opposite of atzlus. Really, the new type of gvura means doing something, with power means to say, is the opposite of laziness. As he points out as follows, let's take a look here. He says, psukim harbe b'sifre mishle oiskim b'genuso shol midas atzlus. Many psukim, he says in Mishle, talk about, right? Talk about the shame, talk about the shame of the midah of laziness. The alkach, right? And because this is a type of midah that can destroy, if a person has a midah of atzlus, laziness, it could destroy a person. He says, Roma Shloimeh, and he starts out with Shlomo Melech and Mishle. Shlomo Melech says the following in Mishle. This is a very interesting posik, and Chazal have a lot of drushes, but Reb Chaim looks at it in a different way. Look at this posik. Shlomo Melech tells the following narrative. Al sedei ish otzelovarti. I once passed by a field of a lazy man. So imagine, Shlomo Melech says, I'm passing by a field, but it's a field of a lazy man. So what do I see? A lazy man does not want to toil the field. A lazy man does not want to work the field. Shlomo Melech says, he says, I passed, again, I passed the field of a lazy man. And I passed by the vineyard of a man lacking understanding of heart. I passed by a vineyard, he has a kerem, but a person does not have any understanding. So what did I see? He says, and behold, it was overgrown with thorns, because this person wasn't toiling, the person wasn't working the field, the person wasn't doing what he's supposed to be doing in the field. And its surface was covered, he says, with thistles, you know, all types of wild growth. Not only that, there's supposed to be a fence around it, but he wasn't tending the fence. They gathered on one of Neherso, and its stone walls were broken down. The Erzo Noichi says, Shlomo Melech, I saw that, the Erzo Noichi, I saw that, Oshis Libi, I took it to heart. When I saw, I took to heart, Ra'isi, I saw, Lakachti Musar, I learned from that. Listen to how what Reb Chaim sees in these few words of that posik. It's an amazing thing. Look what Reb Chaim says. This is a piece of psychology, I mean, really human understanding. Look what Reb Chaim sees. What you see over here, what is the root of laziness? What is the root? Atzlus is not the root. Atzlus is, right, is the symptom that came out. When a person is lazy, laziness is not the root of his behavior. Lazy, that is the outcome of his behavior. Because, look what it says. Because listen to what the pasuk says. Al sedei ish otzel, I passed over, right, the field of a lazy man. Kerem odam chosa leiv. A vineyard of a man who lacked understanding. Laziness is only because your heart does not understand the importance of what has to be done. You don't really have a feeling. It's not in the heart. The heart is not there. He says, Atzlus is a result of Chos Alev. Because it says later, Vinei Kula, as we said, Kim Shoinim, as we find, as he says later on. We see from here, Ho Eitzel is Gabel Risharish, is Midasas. What is the Eitzel? How does one, right? How does one overpower the trait of laziness? What is the Eitzel? What advice you give a person to be able to control and overpower and to uproot the mid of Atlas? A person has to pay attention clearly to what is taking place. In other words, the person really takes to heart what is happening when you don't do such and such. The person really will have the hagosha. The person really will pay attention If you pay attention to what is taking place, then Yochush, then he'll have the feeling automatically that this is something that is necessary to do. Actually, he does not pay attention. If you're not paying attention, so Mel, you don't feel important to do. If you don't feel important to do, say, hey, you're lazy. What's lacking is the chosar leiv. If you have chosar leiv, if there's a chosar leiv, then there's atzlus. Look further. And that, in fact, is Shlomo HaMelech says, Al sedei ish otzolovati. Kloimer. Shlomo HaMelech is saying, Ein listapik b'mesh yishomei p'yacherim. In order to understand what's important, you see, it's not enough to hear from others. You know, many times you read a newspaper of an account. When you read something or you hear something, if you don't actually see it, let's face it, you hear a lot of tragedies, you read the newspaper. How many of us really say, you know what? I can't eat breakfast today. All this service. Just heard about it. But if you would actually see it, a different version, it would totally take on a different... It would go into your heart! Shlomo HaMelech says, it's not enough. Somebody tells me, you know, that there's a vineyard unattended, and therefore thorns, right? Thorns have grown all over. No, no. I myself have to pass through to see what happens. What are the consequences of the field of a lazy man? I have to see it personally. Then I pay attention. Shlomo HaMelech says, Ovarti, that I myself, he says, Elo Ovarti be'atzmi davki, liraz b'moy einai, to see with my own eyes, esedehu isho otzo, to see the field, this karma shel chosalev, the lipchoy, and then if I see it personally, I see firsthand the consequences. The consequence of somebody who does not pay attention, does not attend to what he has. I see firsthand the consequences of atzlus. I see the damage that laziness causes. All the kulikim shayinim, I see that it completely. I see that it was overgrown with thorns. Kisupon of charulim, its surface was covered with thistles. The gerd avonam erza, I saw it. And guess what? What the pasuk says, even seeing it is not enough. You have to really look deeply. Because what's after that? The echzer noichi. The Erzen Oichi, that knows, after I already passed the field, he says, the Erzen Oichi, Dine Ria Shejbo Chazoyin Vizboinus. What is Chazoyin? Chazoyin means looking deeply. Chazoyin Yishayo, the Erzen Oichi. Erzen means to look at it with Vizboinus. Look here. In other words, see what happened, analyze what happened. Figure out what happened. Why did it happen? Why is this field so totally destroyed? Look at it with Seichel, he says. And you know what? And then when you understand intellectually, then you have to take it to heart. Many things we know intellectually, you know what? But you don't take it to heart. So after you see it intellectually, now it has to be right, penetrate into your heart. That's what the pasuk says. See my slave. He ha hashovim and adas el aleif. In other words, it's not enough you have it intellectually. Intellectually, you have to really bring it within you. That this understanding becomes, right? Becomes part of your life, goes into the heart, penetrates into the heart. Then you really have a handle on what's going on. It's very interesting. Because there's always, Rabbi Yisrael, what happens is in our lives, there's always tension between the intellectual and the emotional. The emotional side of a person wants to do one thing. Whether it's good or bad, because he desires to do it. Emotionally, I want to do this. Emotionally, this makes me feel good. Intellectually, says makes you feel good, but it's not right. It's not appropriate. So now this tension, which is going to overpower? Which is going to be the dominant force? Is it going to be the intellect over the emotion? So many things you know intellectually, but it's not enough. The intellect has to penetrate into the heart. That the heart should want to accept it. What does the pasuk say? V'yodato hayoyim? Right? It's not enough for your data. It's not enough that you know about Hashem in your mind. You have to take it into the heart. So Bshon Shadron used to say many times, it's Bshem one of his rabbeim. Everybody knows that there's a very big difference between knowing and not knowing. Right? There's a million minds of difference. Between knowing and not knowing, there's a big difference. Right? Like night and day. Says Rav Sholem, he says, his Rebbe said that the same distance that there is from not knowing to knowing, the same distance for Yodata Hayoyim Vashivoy Selvecho, from knowing to putting into here is also. Physically, how far is from here to here? Was it a foot or 2 feet? From the mind to the heart, it's a million miles away. From the mind to the heart, is distance, distance, and distance, right? He says, Vayadata Hayoim, and Vashevoiso Vecho, take him what you know in your mind and then bring him to the heart, he's millions of miles away, he says. And that's the Avodah. That's why Shlomo Melech says, Ve'echzanochi, but Ve'oshe Salibi, it's not enough that I saw it. Okay, now I saw it, now I know it, right? No. Ve'oshe Salibi, and to take it to heart, put it to my heart, he says, Lehovinu Lehaskil, to understand, is Shaychus Advorim Elai. You have to understand that this applies to me too, what I see. Now that I saw this, now that I understand, how does that obligate me? How does that change my life now? Now that I observe this, what am I going to learn from that and incorporate in my life not to do what caused the damage and the destruction that I saw? As Chazal said by Moshe Rabbeinu also. What does it say? In Shemois. Moshe grows up in the house of Paroh. He goes to his brothers. And what does Rashi say? Where did he go to his brothers? Where did he go? Say Shalom Aleichem. Says Rashi, no. He saw how they are burdened. Rashi says, no. Look at Rashi says, Nosan Eino Veliboy. See the Rashi? The Pasuk says Vayar. Rashi says simply to look doesn't mean anything. Vayar means to see, and then it affects the heart. It goes into the heart. Nosan Eino Veliboy. Many people see things and they just leave unchanged. I saw it, Tatiki Gangim. Just passes you by. No. Moshe Rabbeinu saw, Moshe Rabbeinu v'liboy, liyaz metzer aleyem. So this is the point that Reb Chaim says, that's what we say, Atzlus. The shayrish of Atzlus is not Atzlus itself, it's a teitzor, because it's chos aleyf. When a person really understands what he has to do, he understands what would be the consequence if he does not do it, then that will shape his life, and that will form his life, and bring him to the midrash rizis that Yochai Tzadik is talking about. Okay, we'll